chapter 6. Book of Romans, chapter 6. We'll begin reading with verse number 1. When you find it, say amen. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1, the Word of God reads, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this day asking you, God, to speak to every heart that is here and those that are watching. We pray that, Lord, this day that you would just minister to every need. We pray, Lord, for each individual, that God, that you and you alone know where people stand with you this day. And God, we pray that if there be those that are here today, those that are watching, that God, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, that God, this day they would surrender their heart to you. God, strengthen the Christian. Strengthen that one and encourage that one that, Lord, today that needs to be encouraged through your word and through your spirit. And God, we're going to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to minister this morning for the next few minutes on the thought, becoming an instrument of righteousness. Becoming an instrument of righteousness. Let me say this morning, that no one that is a Christian has been saved to be a pew warmer. God has saved us to be his servant, to be one that will work for him, that one that will be of service. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a person therefore purge themselves from these, they shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I want us to think this morning, and I want to ask us all a personal question to answer to yourself. Do you want to be used by God? Do you want to get to the place where that God can use you in this end time day that we are living in here on the face of the earth? Can God use you? Does God find you faithful in your relationship with him? Does God find you righteous in his eyes? I remember when I first came here as pastor, that I had to deal with a situation because there were people that were attending at that time that wanted me to use people that were sinners to sing and to play instruments, and I wouldn't allow it. It caused a little bit of issues because I was told, well, anybody ought to be able to get up and be used by God. But hear me today. This platform is not just a piece or several pieces of wood with carpet on it. This platform and this pulpit is a place that I consider a holy area. It's a place where that I believe that those that plays music, those that teaches, those that preach needs to be a child of God. I said it then and I said it now that God does not anoint sin, nor does God anoint sinners. God will anoint those that are holy in the eyes of God. And I look at that today, and I've had people ask me, well, can God use me if I'm a sinner, if you get saved? Hello this morning. Don't get quiet on me now. You say, well, I believe that God can use anybody. No, he can't. God will only use those, the Bible said, that are vessels of honor, sanctified and pure and meet for the master's use. God will use those that are serving him, those that have been born again, those that are holy and righteous in his eyes. So pastor, how can I become an instrument of righteousness? Well, number one, we get converted. That's another word for we get saved. Amen. The book of Matthew, St. Matthew chapter 18, verse 2 and 3, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, with that word verily simply means truly, truly I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth upon him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've got churches in this county that has people that are homosexuals and lesbians holding positions in churches. Mainline denominational churches. They were approved by their board. They were approved by their congregation. But friend, I don't care who it was approved by, it wasn't approved by him. God does not condone sin on any nature. Amen. Not just homosexuals and lesbians, not just adulterers and fornicators. God hates sin. God does not condone sin of any nature. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And God looks down upon his church in this time that we are living in. And when God is looking at people that are standing in positions where that they should be preaching and teaching and singing and playing music to lift up the kingdom of God, it bothers God when God looks and sees sinners in the place where that should be a child of God. sin will never be condoned by God. You say, well, I want to be used by God. God can use any individual. Let me say this. God will use any individual if they're born again. Well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. We all are going to fall short. But when we fall short, we ask for forgiveness. Amen? You say, well, now, Pastor, now wait a minute. What about those that are in positions? Maybe they just keep asking God for forgiveness. There comes a day that the Bible says that God will laugh at them in the time and the days of their calamity. In other words, think back when you were a child. You kept doing something over and over and over that your parents or your guardians told you not to do. And you would come back and you would say, well, I'm sorry. Because you knew that punishment was coming your way. I remember being like that when I was a child. I knew exactly how far I could go, and sometimes I would stretch the limit. But when I knew that I was about to face judgment, amen, back in those days, judgment was a switch. Back in those days, judgment was a belt. Back in those days, you went out, they would have you go out and get your own switch. And you better make sure it was a good one, because if not, they'd send you back after another one after that one broke. And when I think about that, I would, knowing that judgment was coming my way, I would say, I'm sorry. Well, now that worked maybe one or two times. But then after a while, after I kept going back and repeating what it was that got me into trouble, and I knew that judgment was coming my way, I would say, well, I'm sorry. But you see, my parents knew that I was playing a game with them. Oh, I'm about to preach here just a little bit. How many times have we played games with God? How many times have we gotten to the place where that God told us, you can't do that? And you knew judgment was coming your way, and you would come and you would say to the Father, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry for what I've done. But then we go right back and we do it again and again and again. To the place that word, I'm sorry, had no meaning. Because it was coming from the lips, but it wasn't coming from the heart. Can I tell you that the true prayer of repentance does not come from the lips. It comes from the heart. And when we are saved, when we are born again, we become like Christ. Can I tell us this morning that Christ is a holy God? He believes in a lifestyle of holiness. The Word of God says we are to walk on the pathway and the highway of holiness. We don't hear that preached much anymore because people don't want to be offended. But I'm here to tell us the only way you and I are going to make it to heaven is by walking the pathway and the highway of holiness. If it was good years ago, it's good today. If it's good today, it will be good tomorrow. Holiness is the lifestyle of a Christian. It's the lifestyle of righteousness. So if we want to be instruments of righteousness, we've got to walk faithfully the highway of holiness. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Secondly, the place of living a lifestyle of righteousness means we are consecrated. Everybody say consecrated. Comes from another word that we don't like to hear sometimes either, called sanctification. It means to be set apart or declare as holy, to dedicate to a specific goal. What is our goal today? Number one, our goal is to live holy. Number two, our goal is to reach the lost. Number three, our goal is to go to heaven. You know, there is not a person that you can ask today that is a sinner that can honestly tell you, I just want to die and go to hell. You won't hear any sinner say that. And I'm even going to go a step further. Those that says that they are atheists, that fights against God, they're really not an atheist. An atheist is a non-believer in something. You can't fight against something if it doesn't exist. So how can they say, well, I'm fighting against because there is no God? Well, then quit fighting against it. Amen? However, God sent his son to die for the atheist. God sent his son for all mankind. God sent his son for every individual that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's every person's goal not to go to hell. However, thousands and thousands of people yesterday went out into eternity lost without God. This Sunday morning at 11:39 Eastern Standard Time, thousands of people have already gone into eternity lost without God. They have had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, young people and adults alike, to get to the place where they could accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to be dedicated and consecrated for the glory of God. Listen to the book of Romans chapter 12, Paul writing, says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you hear what he just said there? To prove what is good, what is acceptable and perfect, the will of God. What's my will according to God's plan in my life? To be holy. God sent his son for you. Every individual from the youngest to the oldest in this house this morning and those that are watching, God sent his son for you to be saved, to be born again, and to be a righteous person that is dedicated, consecrated, sanctified for the glory of God. Amen. Thirdly today, to become an instrument of righteousness, we have to become courageous. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. We need some boldness in people today. Every one of us need to be bold. That's what that word courageous means. We need to be bold. The Bible says we're to be instant in season, out of season. Somewhere along the way, people thought that meant that preachers need to be ready to preach at any time, whether they had planned on it or not. That's not what that meant. What that means is that we are to live for God when it's popular and when it's not popular. And friend, let me tell you something. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, it's not popular. People today will laugh at you. They'll mock you. They'll ridicule you. They'll do everything they can to make your life miserable. But you know what? I've read the back of the book. Guess what? We won. One day they're going to be the ones that are going to be standing on the sidelines when the last breath goes out of our body and we're shouting on the streets of glory. One day the rapture is going to take place. The graves are going to burst open. Amen. And then the Christians that are left behind are going to be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I want you to hear your pastor this morning. Get bold. Get bold. Get to the place that you don't care if they laugh about you, talk about you, ridicule you, because you know what? Really deep down, they're wanting to be like you. They're wanting to be that person that has a smile on their face. They want to be like you, that when hard times come, you're still standing. Oh, you may bend. Oh, you may bow. Just like a big old palm tree down in Florida, when the hurricanes come, it is so deeply rooted that it can bend all the way down. But you know what happens when the storm ends? It's standing right straight back up. And friend, that's exactly the way that we as children of God are. We may get to the place that the pressures of this world may begin to make us go down, but I'm here to tell you, friend, that Jesus Christ, He is the one that's in the middle of your storm. He's the one that can get you to the place that you can keep going on. He's the one that today that can give you a boldness that even though that the storms of life may be raging against you, your old ship may be getting tossed, but I'm here to tell you the old ship of Zion will still continue to sail. Why? Because greater is He that is within us than he that is within the world. We can make it today, but we've got to get bold. Look at that person beside you and say, we've got to be bold in the name of Jesus. Fourthly, today, we've got to be converted. We've got to be courageous. We got to get to the place where that we are consecrated. But fourthly, we got to get consistent. Everybody say consistent. The world is looking at people that call themselves Christians. Those that says that they are a child of God, they're looking at us. Every day we're under a spiritual microscope. They're looking at us and seeing if we really are who we say we are. And the sad thing about it is there are those that says that they are that they're not. But for those of us who are, we've got to keep pressing on. We've got to be consistent. We've got to be showing Jesus to a world that is lost and hurting and is needing a permanent answer to the problems that are going on in their life. Young people today are looking for consistent adult Christians. They're looking for people that they can look at and say, hey, I've got faith in them because they're always consistent in their walk and in their talk. Oh, could I preach a sermon just on that part? Let me tell you what just irks me is when I hear a preacher get behind a pulpit and start cussing. You know what? You need to turn that preacher off. It irks me when I hear preachers talk about how that if you give me money, God's going to give you $1,000. You need to turn that preacher off. But we need to get a hold of people that are preachers and teachers and people that are faith believers and faith walkers and faith talkers. We need to let them be the ones that sows into our young people and sows into adults and to let them know that, friend, there's no problem that comes your way that you can't make it, that greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. Amen? Consistency. To live a lifestyle when everything's going good, but living a lifestyle for God even when things appear bad. God's not looking for a roller coaster Christian to go to heaven. God's going to take Christians that are looking for His coming. What do you mean a roller coaster Christian? They're serving God today, and tonight they're not serving God. Oh, I may upset some apple carts, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. And then they get on Facebook and talk so much about Jesus, and just a few posts before that, they were cussing and going on and doing everything they could and talking about people. And then they get up and they begin to post about Jesus. What is that? They're unstable. Better yet, I'll just plain out put it out there. They're lost. Amen? Well, now, Pastor, they can't be lost if they're making those posts. The devil knows the word. What did he use against Jesus when Jesus was coming off of a 40-day fast and he was hungry, he was thirsty, he had been in the wilderness? What did the devil use? He used this part of the word. How does cults get people to join their cult? They use part of God's word. Amen? And that's the reason why that we've got to be consistent. James 1:8 says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. God uses people that are serving him faithfully. Friend, let me tell you something. Being a pastor's not easy. It got a whole lot harder when COVID in 2020 hit. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, it's getting harder. Why is that, Pastor? Because people are as expecting that pastor to hit all him or her to hit all the right buttons. I'm going to go ahead and say it, to entertain them. I didn't come here to entertain you this morning. I came here to encourage you and to get you to the place that you get to heaven. Amen? That's what God called me to do. God didn't call me to entertain people. God called me to preach the gospel. Amen. When it's popular and when it's not popular, but he said, preach the word. God didn't anoint me for entertainment. Isaiah 61 says that the Spirit of the Lord is God is upon me to preach. There are people today that needs to hear the word of God. There are people today that are here. There are people that are watching this morning that you are at a place and at a crossroads in your life and you're saying, I'm needing something to help me to hold on and to get to the next point. I'm here to tell you the name and the answer is Jesus Christ, God's precious and only Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way this morning. We've got to be consistent. And lastly, we have to be concerned. Folks, I get concerned anymore. More than I have ever been before. I'm concerned about the lost. I'm concerned about church people. Our church family. I get concerned when people says they love God, but they only show up about once every 2 or 3 months. Something's wrong. And here's the lie that the devil is pumping into people these days. Well, I don't have to go to church to make it to heaven. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen? I can just sit at home, go out on the lake, go wherever, and I can still be a Christian. Now, I have no problem with people missing church if they're sick. I have no problem with people missing church if they're going to go on a little vacation. But my goodness, how long is that vacation? Amen? Michelle mentioned a while ago that we have some out today that are sick. We have some out today that are MIA, missing in action. But let me tell you something. We got some out because they're AWOL. They've gone into hiding. In my opinion, one of the worst things that I believe that will get a hold of God and just make God shake his head is when people play the game of hide and seek, or they say, well, I'm not going to come to church. I'm just going to just stay home and see how long it takes for the pastor to call me. Well, let me tell you this. If you miss today, I'll be calling you either today or tomorrow. But let me also say this. If that's the reason why that people are staying home because they want the pastor to call, let me tell us something here today. You don't need the pastor calling. You need God to call on you. We need to get to the place where that we say, well, I don't want to miss church because I might miss out on something. You said, does that really happen? Oh, yeah. I remember the day that I had the alarm clock go off. 1985 in November. I work Monday through Friday. A day shift job, Friday night and Saturday, I worked at a convenience store, stocking and doing things of that nature. I'd get off work at 7 in the morning. I'd go home, try to catch a couple hours of sleep, and I'd done that. The alarm went off. Let me tell you something. I was tired. I was weary. And the devil was sitting on the shoulder. And he just simply said, just turn off the alarm. Just sleep in today. Right when I was about to listen to him, the Holy Spirit got a hold over here. He said, no, you need to get up. You need to get to church because I've got something for you today. And I can remember my exact reactions was this. Do I have to? And I heard that voice. If you want my blessing that I've got for you today, you'll get to church. So I got up, and I walked to church that morning. And as I got there for Sunday school, in a new convert class, the teacher came in, said, we're not going to go with the lesson, but if you're here this morning, you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to ask you right now, just begin to pray and ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And there in that new convert room, and it hit me the other day about that new convert room. That used to be the pastor's office. Can I tell you who used to be the pastor of that church before that particular time when we had a new pastor, Wim H. Morgan? The pastor before him that had prayed in that former pastor's office was a man by the name of Reverend J.E. DeVore. And it hit me the other day, how many prayers had gone up in that old pastor's office? But Brother DeVore, Lindsey Croft, and Brother Lombard, and others saying, God, get a hold of people's lives. God, baptize people in the Holy Spirit. That hit me the other day. I was out on the riding mower. Wasn't supposed to be, but I couldn't help it. It was pretty. I just couldn't sit in that chair any longer. I said, I got to get out of here. And there I was going around the field, and I just began to bask in the presence of God. And God began to reveal how many times prayers went up in that room that used to be the pastor's office that had become a new convert class, and how that the power of God fell that day, baptizing six of us in the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something today? God knows what he's doing. Can I tell us today that God is one that will honor his word? He will honor the prayers of his people and his children. And when we get to the place that we get to, that we say, Lord God, I'm concerned. You see, what we don't realize, we have some soldiers of the cross that does things incognito. Nobody knows that they're doing it. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about prayer warriors of this church that are praying and seeking God for every one of us here today. You're looking at a pastor this morning, and I don't say it to get patted on the back, that every day I'm praying for you and your family. Why? Because I'm concerned about you and your family. I want to make sure you make it to heaven. I want God to pour out his blessings upon you. I want God just to bless you from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, and while you're asleep, God just pours out his blessings upon you. And that's what it means to be an instrument of righteousness that is concerned. You're concerned about everybody. You're concerned about the sinner. You're concerned about the backslider. You're concerned about that one that has done you wrong, because we don't want to see anybody go to hell. If you're here this morning, if you're watching, you say, well, I know some people, I want them to go to hell. You need to get saved. I know there's people that's done us wrong. But you know what? They done Jesus the same way. Well, what did Jesus do? He looked at them as he hung on a cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Until the day that Jesus Christ comes again, or the death angel knocks on our door, we should be praying for every individual, that God would touch them and bless them. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this Sunday morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you that, God, that you're a God that loves us so much. God, you sent your Son to die for us. And God, to the hard times and in the good times, you're still God. When we're on the mountaintop or whether we're in the valley, you're still God. Lord, when people are coming against us and it seems like that nobody understands, you're saying, I understand because I'm your God. And God, when we're battle weary, God, you're the one that is able to come and remind us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That there are going to be times that we're going to get weary. There are going to be times that we're going to become battle weary. There are going to be times that, Lord, that we're not going to understand what in the world's going on in our life, but because of who you are, we know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I pray this Sunday morning for every individual under the sound of my voice, whether they're here, whether they're watching, or God, whether they'll watch our broadcast later on sometime today or throughout this week, I pray, God, they would always remember one thing. God loves them. And he's there for them. God, touch every individual that is here this morning. If there are those that are here that, God, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that, God, this Sunday morning, God, they would cry out and say, Lord God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I believe that today that, Lord, you stand ready to become my Savior. And this day I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all my failures. I accept you into my heart and into my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And God, your word says that when we pray that prayer, not from our lips, but from our heart, when we speak it out, God, you forgive instantly. Our name is added to the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a new name written down in glory. And I pray today, Lord, for that one that, God, that is losing their first love. I pray this day that, God, that they would come to you and they would say, Lord God, ignite a revival. Ignite a renewing of serving you, a renewing of my first love once again. That, God, that I put you number one in my life. God, I pray blessings over every family that is represented here today. I pray blessings over every individual this Sunday morning. I pray that, God, that you would bless them from the time they get up to the time they go to sleep. And God, while they're sleeping, you begin to bless them during that time period also. That, God, that when they get up, they would know that they know that they know that Jesus Christ loves them and lives and abides within them. And God, we'll praise you for it forevermore. If you're here this morning, you are lost. These altars are open for you. If you're here this morning and you need to be anointed and prayed for, these altars are here. I'll meet you at the front of this altar this Sunday morning. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. I'll stand in agreement with you that God would touch you and minister to every need that you have. I'm going to ask you, if you will, come this morning. Come this morning. come this morning to Him. Bring it all to Him this day. In the name of Jesus. Josiah, come here and I'll pray for you and your friend.